When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's Chino. One on, two out. Pitch is swung on and drilled. The deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. The Fan Chino with two outs in the bottom of the ninth.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Words come in here.
In the time of chimpanzees, I was a monkey. Butane in my veins and mouth to cut the chuggy with the plastic eyeballs. Spray paint the vegetables, dog food skulls with the beefcake pantyhose.
Weak bars. gotta start your verse off better than that. I don't even know. I know this song, but I don't know who sings it. Yeah, two turntables and a microphone. Fleek's new. Keep McPherson on The Fan. Fleek's is like, well, I can see it on the screen, yeah. I always listen for our rejoins. Sometimes I have my own beats. I was actually
that was
listening.
When I only knew the answer to the test because you were allowed to keep your notes.
I'm like, that era of Beck, I don't know. You're younger than me. You were probably like when Beck was having hit records and songs on MTV, you were probably in elementary school.
Well, that's when, like, I've known the song, I've heard it before, but like, it might not come to my
song.
Mind right away.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have pulled Beck. Two turntables and a microphone came to my mind. But what I'm saying, I listened to the rejoins. BT and Sal have some good rejoins. I heard Post Malone, Wow, and there was another beat that I heard. Well, I was like, I've never heard that beat on WFM. I'm like, I gotta work on I'm gonna put a note tomorrow when I do my show notes. Like, add some new beats for Tuesday. Assuming that the Knicks win and there's a celebration going on The Fan tomorrow night, add some new beats. Anyway, AKD, don't you regret not going to the Knicks? Looking at FanDuel, the Knicks are favored. Knicks -4. Going into this game 5, over under 202. So they're expecting, you know, the games to be similar to they've been. Like, they haven't been high scoring games. They've been close contests. Obviously, you'll have, you know, one or two guys go off for a lot of points. But I don't know, first to 100 wins type of games. And I think you might get the same type of game, you know, or you might not make it to 100. You know, looking at the box score from Sunday, I said this about Brunson, and I know so many people were, you know, people even, they were like, oh, does Brunson get the Julius Randle treatment? I'm like, he's not going to go missing the whole series. And if you watch the games, he hasn't gone missing. They are double, triple teaming him. They are fouling him. They are pulling. This guy is the smallest guy on the court versus Embiid, the biggest guy on the court. And they're getting two completely different whistles. So I knew it was inevitable. I knew there was just it was just a matter of time. And he didn't even do it behind the three-point line. He did it attacking. He got to the foul line, but he did it just, you know, putting the ball in the hoop. 47 points, 9 out of 11 free throws, 2 of 8 from deep. But 18 of 34, that'll get it done. 10 assists as well. Jalen Brunson gives you a historic performance in Philadelphia. The game that you absolutely needed to come home and know we win tonight, leave it all out there on the floor, and we're done. That's a gentleman's sweep. We're the number 2 seed moving on. 877-337-6666. Ken, out on Long Island, you're on The Fan in New York. What you got?
Hey, Keith, big fan. I work second shift. I listen to you every night, and I'm a Giants, Mets, and Knicks fan, so we're on opposite sides. So I love your impartiality when you do everything.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
On the radio.
Appreciate it.
And I saw Beck at Lollapalooza in 1994 at Dowling Stadium.
Shout out to Lollapalooza and Grant Park, which is one of the greatest festivals in America. But I'm thinking about like 94. That's what I'm talking about. Fleegs, how old were you in 94? I was six. So
I was,
Fleegs.
I was, I think I was 23.
I was two going on three.
There's no way we were rocking the Beck.
Well, listen, I love what the Knicks have done. I love how they play bigger than they are. You know, that game yesterday with both Bianobi and Hart. You know, Josh Hart, like, quickly has become one of my favorite athlete in New York since Eli. I think he's amazing. He is who he is. He's got heart. But, you know, there were times during the season where they struggled with big teams. You know, early in the year, they struggled with a Celtics, like, in the first week of the season. And I know they took care of him, you know, at the end of the season, but I don't know how much the Celtics were into it. I heard you earlier say that you were pretty confident about them against the Celtics. I mean, do you see anybody matchups go with size that you feel a little nervous about?
I wouldn't say that I'm confident in them, and we still got a ways to go to get there. What I feel like is everybody just said Celtics best record. They're going to smoke everybody in the East. They're going to the finals. This is the year. This is the team. Drew Holiday, Kristaps Porzingis, add them to this group. This is probably the last year that they're going to have this group together. Only year they're going to have this group together. It's a foregone conclusion that the Celtics win. I've seen them fail.
Either. I'm with you.
Yeah, so it might not be the Knicks that bring them to their demise, but it might be themselves. Injuries or a guy going cold. So like, but now, all right, let's talk. All right, without Mitchell Robinson, you need that guy.
Yeah, we keep losing our size. That's why I'm getting a little nervous. Like, I'm hoping Mitch sounded like he was coming back today when he talked.
I think he will come back, but it was great to see that he did not have to play in that game. And the Knicks just, like, you already mentioned their heart. You mentioned Josh Hart's heart, pun intended. They have so much heart. They have so much want to. They want to win. They will hustle. Josh Hart will go out there and get you 17 rebounds without a Mitchell Robinson.
That's 6-4, 17
just out hustling people. Just I will be the first guy to that loose ball, and you need a guy like that.
You know, guys who are bigger than him, planted on the ground, holding the ball, and him jumping up in the air and ripping out of their hands.
Ananobi's had a quiet little good series as far as they don't talk enough about his defense. But like I was saying, when's he going to have a 20-point game instead of a 10-point game? And the games after that first couple games, first game, he had more than 10. He had 14 rebounds.
And he wasn't settling for the shot outside. He was driving to the hoop. And when they collapsed on him, he made good dishes.
Sure.
I thought he looked great yesterday.
0-for-3 from deep. Okay, then stop shooting the three. It doesn't always have to be a three.
Yeah.
Take what they give you. He had 3 blocks. Josh Hart had 3 blocks.
I actually thought, hands down, that was his best game as a Knick regular season.
So they're trending in the right direction, as is. You get Mitch back. Even Bojan Bogdanović gave you 1 minute. And then he had to exit the game. You hope that he's all right.
You know, talking about Anobi, and I'm sorry, I hope I'm not taking too much time. Talking about Anobi and the injuries in Bogdanović, you know, Anobi last game in game three, he fell on somebody and he rolled off their ankle to make sure he didn't hurt them. These guys, I don't mean to sound bitter, but they, like, there's been 2 or 3 times, and I'm not even just talking about Embiid. There's been times where other guys have rolled onto ankles. It's almost like they're purposely trying to do this stuff.
Well, we see it all the time. Some guys don't have that sportsmanship. Some guys are out there like Embiid. I'm trying to hurt you. I'm trying to get guys knocked out of the game, and I don't care. I'm literally fighting you. But other guys are respectful as far as like, no, this is competition, but we don't want to literally hurt our competition. Now the Knicks have guys compromised. Bogdanović is out for the next game. Mitchell Robinson is questionable for the next game.
Across the board, very often they've been dirty, and on top of it, they complain about every play.
It's annoying. Hands in the air. Looking to the side for the officials. It's like, come on, bro.
Yeah, and the coaches, and you know, the as they say in management, the fish stinks from the head down. The coach complains every play.
Mm-hmm.
And so, well, I'll let you go. I appreciate your time. I love the show. I look forward to hearing more about it. Have a great day, okay?
Thanks for the call, Ken. Thanks for listening on your shift. Honestly, like I say that, like, I'm working. This is my shift, man. I do this for the folks that are working at night, driving at night, can't sleep at night. Give you something to rock to. So, yeah, talking about the Knicks, what I mean when I say, like, they have heart, that, like, you lose Mitch. That is a blow, right? You could tuck your tail and say, that was our best chance at defending Embiid. Now we don't have him. Nope. Nope. They use who they have. The coach comes up with a plan, and then you get a historic performance out of Brunson. You lose a shooter off the bench right away. It's fine. We'll gut it out. Yeah, we know they're playing dirty. We don't have to stoop to their level and fight dirty back. We'll just play our game. Time will expire. We'll be victorious. And you're going to get their best shot. But they know they're not stupid. They're not coming to Madison Square Garden with that dirty stuff. They're not coming to Madison Square Garden thinking that the referees are going to... The referees want to make it home. The referees know how visible they are. This is New York. They're going to hear those fans and feel those fans. It's going to be a great competition for Game 5. But I'm sticking to what I said before the series even got started. Knicks in 5, gentlemen sweep. And I think that they know if they leave it all out there on the floor and get it done, that's it. And you need the time to rest up a little bit. I don't want anybody to get it confused. I have not said that I am not worried about the Knicks-Celtics matchup. First off, that's not the next round. And we got a ways to go. And on paper, obviously on paper, the Celtics should beat the Knicks. Obviously, when you look at the length that they have with the players they have in Jaylen Brown, Tatum, Porzingis, Al Horford. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that's not a good matchup for the Knicks, but we'll see when we get there. I don't like the amount of people bowing to the Celtics. It's like, what have they won? What has this group won? They've shown you year after year that they can fail too. And Joe Mazzulla, let's see how far these guys actually go. Back to the Knicks conversation. Mario out in Long Beach, back on the Fan.
What's going on, Keith? Nice show.
Thanks, man. You know, hanging out, talking and talk.
So look, I did a little research. Very interesting. The chance of Philly winning the series down 3-1 is 4.5%.
It's just unlikely. It's just not.
Okay,
it doesn't
believe
happen.
It or not, the chances of the Knicks winning a championship are up 7.5%. So there's a better chance of the Knicks winning a championship than Philly winning the series.
Sure.
Which you wouldn't think that, but that's
no,
what it is.
Yeah, no, I would think that because, you know, we don't know. We can't tell the future as far as what's going to happen to the other teams that the Knicks face. But I think we can see the forest through the trees here in this series. Embiid, you got his 50-point game. He's not going to have another one. And I think in the Garden tonight, all of that ends. It's over.
And, you know, I was listening to Paul Pierce. He was on Undisputed. And he said something that I really believe in. Yeah, they're not as talented as Boston, he said, but there's one thing. You could look at a player, you could look at his size, his skill level. Is he fast? Is he slow? Can he run? How's his athleticism? But you can't measure his heart. And he said the Knicks are the hardest playing team in the whole NBA,
yeah,
bar none.
They've been. They're the best conditioned. They don't stop. How'd they win game 2? Because they did not quit. They used every second. Now, as I talk about injuries, as I talk about the Celtics, and as I read things coming across my timeline, tonight Kristaps Porzingis exited the game, and he got suffered a non-contact leg injury, which, I mean, from what I'm looking at with this video, if Porzingis is compromised, they lose a starter. So that's exactly what I'm saying. I don't wish injury on anybody. But it happens every single year. So just as the Knicks are banged up here, obviously Julius Randle not available
right
for the entire playoffs.
I have one quick point. Can I make it? And then
absolutely. The Celtics are compromised.
I was looking at the draft picks that they have coming up, the Knicks. They got 4 number ones this year and 2 number twos. And the following year, 2 ones and 2 twos. Now, what's interesting about the 4 number ones, 2 of them are one's from Washington, one's from Detroit, and it's protected. So it's probably going to defer to the next round. But once it defers, it's not protected anymore. So not this year coming up, but the following year, they're going to have some great – they're going to be loaded with draft picks because Washington and Detroit are not going to be that good.
The future is bright for the Knicks fan.
Tell me what you think. Nice talking to you, buddy. Great show.
Thanks for the call. I know I'm aware of their whole situation. I even applauded them at the deadline making the trade with the Pistons. They give up second round picks. Sure, we got those. That draft capital is everything. That is, you're either going to be able to bring in a superstar player this summer or the next. I think that they're more inclined to run it back as is, bring Julius Randle, but whatever. You see what's available to you. Or you just keep adding to your team. You just keep drafting talent and developing talent. Now you can pick at the... Come on. I don't have to tell some of these Knicks fans that have been waiting for this time. It's the most wonderful time. Look at how things have shaken out. You're the number two seed in the Eastern Conference. You're a game away from a gentleman's sweep. I know the first win, Knicks fans were chanting, "We want Boston." And as I say all these things about every year somebody gets hurt, let's see what happens with Porzingis now that I'm reading this news that came across my timeline and trying to watch this video here. It looks like he landed very awkwardly or just pulled up kind of lame. And that was a huge acquisition for them in the offseason. I remember when I first saw the Celtics on the floor, I'm like, who allowed this? That was my response. Who allowed them to add Drew Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis to the Celtics team? The rich get richer. Well, non-contact leg injury. I'm going to read up on what happened to former Knick Kristaps Porzingis, but that changes the almighty Celtics if they do not have him. Michael is in Little Ferry, New Jersey on the Fan in New York. What's up, Mike?
What's up, Keith? What's going on?
You know, I'm looking for things that have come out of the NBA tonight so I can feed them to our audience. And yeah, here comes the Kristaps Porzingis injury right in line with what I was talking about.
Crazy, right? All right, Keith. So the Indiana Pacers, that's been my team since 1993.
Bankers Life Fieldhouse?
Bankers Life Fieldhouse and Stiegel Fieldhouse, Market Square Arena, the NBA on NBC, John Starks, Reggie Miller, McKee, the Davis boys.
Rick Schmitz.
I want Pacers. Rick Schmitz. Mark Jackson, a little shimmy shake. Reggie Miller, John Starks, the headbutt. Reggie Miller, 25 points in the fourth quarter.
You weren't rooting for Roy Hibbert, though.
Oh, gosh. When they had Hibbert and George and the Pacers played the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals, Keith, I want the Pacers and the Knicks. I want if that you see the Indiana Pacer crowd compared to the Philadelphia crowd, it's night and day. I think it's going to be really good for the league. I think the Celtics are very susceptible. I think the Pacers and Knicks could be a really, really good series.
Where's Giannis, man?
Oh, he's out.
Yeah, he can't go. I told people that, too. I'm like, if he's not able to run and we're in the first round, is he gonna I don't know if they survive.
I mean, I think the Pacers are in Milwaukee tomorrow. The Pacers are 4.5 point favorites.
Yeah.
The Pacers are -4,500 to win the series. So if you get the Knicks win, you get the Pacers win this weekend, it's gonna be the Knicks and the Pacers. And I think the Pacers, you know, the Pacers don't get a lot of national coverage, obviously. But the Pacers got Halliburton, Aaron Nesmith, Miles Turner's still there. They're a really high-scoring team, high energy, and I just think it'll be good. I think there's a changing of the guard, too. You got Minnesota Timberwolves with Anthony Edwards. He looks like he's on a complete mission. You got Kevin Durant out. Steph Curry's out. LeBron James is out. So now you got teams like the Indiana Pacers, Halliburton. You got the Knicks, Jalen Brunson. Timberwolves, Anthony Edwards. So now there's a changing here.
Good. Let some different teams, different cities get some run. I'm 100% with that, Michael. Thanks for the call, man. Pacers fan coming from Little Ferry, New Jersey. I mean, that series got some bad blood in it. It looked like they were about to fight. And I know Dame time, he's running out of time. And I know he's tried to put the team on his back. There's only so much you could do. And without Giannis, they don't stand a chance. Giannis is the best player on their team. Good. I got no love for Giannis. If you ever heard me talk about watching Giannis play, I can't say. Between him and Embiid, Giannis is less of a dirty player, but I can't stand to watch these 2 7-footers play. They get every whistle. They're big babies. They're so used to having everything go their way. The officials calling everything for them. It messes the game up. It's like, man, just play. But yeah, Chris Middleton, Bobby Portis. Yeah, I'd rather see the Bucks be one and done. I'd much rather see the Pacers go on. But I also rather see that series not end today. Right? Because that game will follow the Knicks game. Let's go Bucks. Extend the series. Let the Knicks rest. Right? The Pacers are up 3-1. The Knicks are up 3-1. So both teams are dreaming of the gentleman sweep. But I'd like to see the Bucks fight with Brooke Lopez and whoever else can step up and get them a win and keep that series going. 877-337-6666. Honestly, haven't been watching too much of that series. I'm looking at the box score. I'm like, did Dame not play? I have not been paying attention to that. I've watched the Knicks games because that's what it is. But I'm a stupid Nets fan, bro. I was so off the NBA season. I was off the NBA season months ago. I'm locked in on baseball. I'm locked in on the NFL draft. I watched all the NFL draft this weekend. Can't get enough. The NFL is king. Somebody's getting drafted. Somebody's dream is coming true. I watched the draft just to see these kids and their moms and their dads and their families and their girlfriends, and it's like the dream realized. The moment they've all been waiting for and working for. I think that's fantastic. So, yeah, 3-1, Pacers lead, and they're looking for the gentleman's sweep in Pfizer Forum tonight. The Knicks looking for the gentleman's sweep in Madison Square Garden tonight. Let's see, Tyrese Halliburton questionable, Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo doubtful. Yeah, they're cooked. No Dame, no Giannis. That's it. Even without Halliburton, I think they can beat them with no Dame Giannis. And that goes back to, like, you know, the difference between, like, the NBA and the NFL. NFL is number one, NBA is number two in this country. But you just heard me talking about Kevin Durant, how he was with the Nets just last season, ends up joining the Suns. And everybody says, uh-oh, big three, big bad, big three in Phoenix. Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and Bradley Beal, who's going to stop them? Themselves. And then even with the team up of, the Bucks made the trade? Thought Damian Lillard was going to go to the Nets. Thought Damian Lillard was going to go to the Miami Heat. The Milwaukee Bucks make the trade? Damn, who's going to stop Giannis and Dame? They're going to go off. Injuries are going to stop them. They're just going to get hurt. They're not young men anymore. They're going to play, and they're going to load manage and still not be able to finish the race. They're going to play. They're going to fire their coach. They're going to bring in Doc Rivers, and we all expect Doc to fail and lose, and at least they have a out. Oh, they got hurt. You know, things would have went different if they were healthy, if they didn't get hurt in the first round. Whatever. Do you understand what I'm saying, Knicks fans? And Halliburton, not for nothing, if he's compromised, let me see this quote. It locked up. My back just locked up, Halliburton said on Bally Sports Indiana. I couldn't really move. Thank God for our amazing medical staff. There was a hot second there where I didn't think I was going to be able to play. You don't say, Tyrese. Wally Zerbiak said you're not an all-star. There's some bad blood there. I mean, there's the 90s history, Knicks, Pacers. We can dream. We can look ahead a little bit. Oh, Obi Toppin. Obi Toppin and his brother get to reunite if that series goes down. Yeah, why not? Why not? And if you Knicks fans are picking up what I'm putting down, try and stay healthy. I know you don't really, you know, there's no way. Hopefully, Bojan Bogdanovic is all right, and hopefully Mitchell Robinson returns, and you don't lose any more guys. But, like, this is what happens at the end of the NBA season. Guys are worn down. Anything can happen. Guys' back lock up, their knee, their Achilles. It doesn't matter. Now, just in this first round in the East, Kristaps Porzingis went down tonight. Giannis hasn't played a game. Dame got hurt 2 games ago. Doubtful, about to miss the last 2 games. Tyrese Halliburton's back locked up. Like, this is what I'm telling you. Everybody feels it. So on paper, this team's supposed to be better than this team. This team's supposed to be better. Joel Embiid is playing through an injury. I don't know how much longer he has on that one leg, but man, if the Knicks stay relatively healthy, their style of play, playing 48 minutes, their style of play, hustling every possession, grinding it out, it bodes well against teams where the superstars don't play like that, where these guys get hurt and can't go that hard. Who am I to get on the radio and tell you what they can or can't do? Who am I to get on the radio and tell you that they can't win the Eastern Conference? Who am I to get on the radio and tell you that they can't go to the finals? If I had that type of ability to tell you the future, be a fortune teller, I wouldn't be sitting here. I'd be placing bets. I'd live in Vegas. I'd be placing bets on everything. I'd have a bet on every. I'd know everything already. 877-337-6666. That's why we watch. Nobody knows. Nobody knows who's going to be healthy, who's going to get hurt in the game, after the game, how the matchup is going to shift based on who's available and who's not available. You know? I wonder if I'm missing any other injuries, because like I said, it's the first round of the NBA playoffs. You lock in on the next round. If your team's not in it. My team's not in it. So how locked in? I mean, I've watched all the Knicks games, yes, of course, for work purposes. But I'm not surprised with what I've seen with the series is going how I predicted, how I thought. I thought Embiid and the Sixers will get one game in their arena, most likely that first game, and then that's it. We'll see what happens tonight. All right, I got a break here, and my show is running out. If you'd like to join the show, dial 877-337-6666. When we come back, I'll put a bow on everything that we talked about. I'll wrap everything up from the Yankees to the Mets to the Knicks, the Rangers, the Islanders, and, you know, final thoughts again on the Jets draft, the Giants draft. And I don't know, I'll look through my notes to see if there was anything else I wanted to add before the show concludes. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, talking sports till 2 a.m. C-Mac is coming up next. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Ball game over. American League Championship Series over. Yankees win.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
What's this right here? Boys are back in town?
No.
This is Green Day?
Flagpole Seed is the song. Harvey Danger is the artist.
Wouldn't have guessed that.
You know the Now CDs? Now That's What I Call Music? This is on the first one.
Remember those commercials?
That's where I learned this song.
How come they don't still run those CDs?
Oh, they do. They're up to like in the like mid-hundreds.
What do you get them on? Spotify?
I don't know. I see online probably, and I know you can get them like at Target or Walmart. I've seen them on the racks.
There's probably someone with like a subscription to them yearly. They're still making money somehow off of those. Keith McPherson on The Fan. C-Mac is in the bullpen, ready to go. Ready to come in and do his thing. I said I was going to put a bow on everything we talked about tonight. I saw a stat, you know, Katie Sharp. She's going to hit you with those stats late, right? 12:53 a.m. She's going to be like, you Yankee fans got to realize what you're looking at. The Yankees are 0-8, and then she puts 0.000, like their winning percentage. When scoring two runs or fewer this season, that's tied for the worst percentage in Major League Baseball. Yankees are 19-3, an .864 winning percentage when scoring three or more runs this season. That's the best in MLB. What did I used to do last year? Three is the magic number. And there's so many Yankee games where you just know they're not going to score three runs. They might not score a run. They might have one run. A Trevino solo shot barely gets over the short porch. That's it. And then you split a series against the Oakland A's. Or a Monday game where Boone gets thrown out five pitches in. And you can't score and you get shut out against the Oakland A's. And then, of course, you play your rival. The battle for first place, the battle for supremacy in the AL East. We got to show these young boys, right? We got Juan Soto now. We got to show these guys. We got Alex Verdugo now. He's on paternity leave, but he'll be back. Yeah, without Alex Verdugo, I just knew it too. It worked too well. It worked too good over the weekend. It was too good to be true over the weekend. And I don't fault him for leaving at all. I think that's so dumb when I see people like, oh, did you have to take paternity leave now? Yes. If you've ever taken paternity leave, like, please. But the timing just isn't great for the Yankees because you saw him back cleanup and the Yankees put up 15 runs. Either way, the Yankees lose. And now tonight, it's Nestor Cortes versus Dean Kramer. I think advantage Dean Kramer and the Orioles. And if you lose that game, the best you can do is split the series. And I don't want to be splitting series with these guys. Especially when you could have beat them. They had one run until Volpe kicked the ball in the whatever. In the ninth inning, it's like, come on. Well, if we had a rally in our bones, that certainly killed it. Tighten up. Be better. With the game on the line. I feel like I've seen the Yankees with the game on the line loosen up a couple times early on this year. It's early, Keith. It's April until it's not. This is the last day y'all can say that. It's the last day you can tweet me. It's April. Does this guy know anything about baseball? It's April. Okay. Do you know anything about baseball? The losses in April count in September. They don't just erase them because it's April. Especially these division losses. Especially in games like, should have swept the Brewers. That's not a division game, but you should have swept them. You should have been able to manufacture some kind of run tonight. Do something. Anyway, the Mets lose, and it's also frustrating because Luis Severino follows up a week later from having a perfect game bid with a no-no bid. So as a fan, you start to dream. As a fan, in real time, you're like, hey, don't jinx this. Hey, don't move. Whatever you're doing, keep doing what you're doing. And then you watch that game unravel. You watch that game. How you draw it up is Sevy for eight, hand the ball to one of the best closers, if not the best closer in baseball. But he himself said he was nervous in the bullpen. What you mean you're nervous? You're getting paid $102 million. He was nervous thinking that he would have to come in and preserve the no-hitter. Instead, he comes in and he gives up two hits, two earned runs. That one homer, that's all she wrote. 3-1. The Mets lose after Nimmo got it going early, and you thought you might just have a 1-0 no-hitter history made in the City Connect uniforms. I did not speak about this tonight. The reason why the Mets can't wear like their black pants, the thing with these uniforms, Major League Baseball, it's not your fault. Nike, Fanatics, we're talking about Major League Baseball having issues with their jerseys in 2024. Nimmo was quoted saying, this is a serious problem when a $13 billion industry is having a tough time getting pants from a worldwide industry that is supposed to be at the forefront of apparel and whatnot. We can't wear our blacks, we can't wear our blues because we don't have our pants, and I hear that it's a problem with other teams as well. Yeah, it's been a problem since spring training. First, it started with the see-through pants. Then it's just like, why are the names so little? Now, when we watch Carlos Rodon, he's sweating through the jersey to the point where it's like, come on, we got to get this guy an undershirt, something. Nike, do better. This is supposed to be performance wear. And it's hilarious because Manfred came out to say, oh, yeah, well, you know, the players love them. And after you see the guys in them, like, no, Rob, fix this. Nike, fix it. Michael Rubin, Fanatics, fix it. But, yeah, the Mets lose, the Yankees lose. So I got off of that. And I started telling you Knicks fans and Rangers fans to dream. Islanders fans, go ahead and dream for one more win as well. But for the Knicks fan, especially the young one, man, dream. Dream of your team sweeping, or gentlemen sweeping, the Sixers. Getting to the next round and moving on and moving on and moving on. You don't know what can happen. Guys are going to get hurt. The matchup on paper is not the matchup that's on the floor. Why can't it be you? Why can't this be the year for everything to fall right into your lap? Dream. Don't tell those kids not to chant Knicks in five. Don't tell those kids to not chant We Want Boston. Don't tell those kids they can't say FMB. FMB. He deserves all of that. Did you not watch how he played? And so the Knicks have an opportunity here to win in five and potentially rest. We'll see what happens with the Bucks and the Pacers and Halliburton and Giannis and Dame. Guys are banged up, but don't worry about them. Worry about you've got one game in the Garden to leave it all out there to end the series and send the reigning MVP packing. You can pack up Philly. Can't spell Philly without two L's. It'll be the second time in the series they have back-to-back L's. So, not a Knicks fan, but rooting for you guys to beat those bums and send them down the turnpike. And the Rangers fans are chilling, not worried about too much. Capitals, no big deal. Little sweep down there, go to D.C., handle business. Now you wait for the Islanders maybe to get another win, extend that series, whatever. Either way, it's not a sweep. You get a little bit of rest, and you start to dream of 94. You start to dream of both the Knicks and the Rangers in the second round and beyond. Other than that, we talked about the NFL draft. I tip my cap to the Jets. I think Joe Douglas, Rob Saleh, those guys had something to prove. Your defense is pretty much intact, not too much room there. And you have Aaron Rodgers. So what do you do to help Aaron Rodgers? You get a left tackle for now and the future. I think there's a good chance that we do see Fashanu play. I just am a Cowboys fan who saw Tyron Smith. He's going to get hurt at some point. And even if he doesn't get hurt, there were times where I'm like, he's lost a step. Get that young man ready. Malachi Corley, that's a guy who's looking for trouble. That's a guy who's looking for contact. Yards after catch, I think he'll be another good little weapon to add. And then I love the Braylon Allen pick. I told you, 6'1", 235. I think this kid is young, like 20, turning 21. And he's just a beast. And you know that, they have running backs come out of there. You can list, run off a list. Remember Ronnie Bell? Ronnie Ball, Melvin Gordon, Ron Dane. They have a factory of running backs that come out of Wisconsin, and I think that kid can be much better than Dalvin Cook was. And then they add the Jordan Travis kid, which I'm like, that's a fifth-round pick. Jordan Travis from Florida State, he's played some big-time football. Obviously, his season got cut short, breaking his leg, but he's an athlete. He's a kid that I think this year could look better than Zach Wilson. So I tip my cap to the Jets and their draft. And then the Giants, too. I know some people said, like, you can miss me with the Joe Alt conversation now days later. You can miss me with the, oh, it was a stupid pick to get Malik Nabers. What are we talking about? This is a team that lost their most explosive playmaker. This is a team that never has a 1,000-yard receiver. Oh, going back to the last guy they took in the first round out of LSU. And if you look at the numbers and you look what people are saying, this guy was way more dominant than Odell Beckham Jr. was. So you hope that he comes into this program and has somebody to throw him the ball. I don't know how quickly you can expect Daniel Jones to be ready. But Drew Lock is fine. And Tommy DeVito's there as well. And you got to trust your offensive head coach and some of the changes that they've made that they'll get the ball in his hands. I really like the Tyler Newbin pick because they were saying that kid's the best safety in the draft. You get him in round two, it fits an immediate need. Plug him right in. We'll see what the Andrew Phillips kid out of Kentucky turns into. I think he's more going to play inside, play nickel. I also love the Theo Johnson pick. Darren Waller, just go ahead and hang it up, bro. They made moves in the offseason to add tight ends, and they drafted one. And then even Tyrone Tracy late. Whatever, it's just another running back for that running back room with Devin Singletary and the kid you drafted out of Oklahoma last year. I don't know who else is going to be there. Matt Breida, they should just tell him, go ahead. And yeah, that's where I'm at for the most part. Waiting for these next playoff games. Hoping that the Yankees respond with Nestor Cortez on the mound and with Sean Manaea on the mound. The Mets got to bounce back. You don't want to lose this game, and then when you're under 500 and you lose another series, you know what I'm saying. 877-337-6666. Jordan is in Baldwin on the Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith, what's going on?
You know, bringing it home. You know, another one in the books.
Yes, sir, Priest. Yes, sir. I love listening to your show. It's one of my favorite things to do when I'm listening. I'm going through finals right now, so I'm up at this time trying to.
Thanks, man. I don't envy your position. I hated finals. I hated all of that cramming and studying. Yep. For a test that you'll do that, and I'm the type, I take that test, I forgot. As soon as this pencil's down, I forgot all that stuff.
The second it's over, Keith, I'm in the middle of a 10-page term paper right now. It's due tomorrow at 9 a.m. So, you know, I'm just trying to
may the odds be ever in your favor.
Thanks, Keith. I appreciate it. But I just wanted to talk about my fandom, man. Listen, my Knicks, my Yankees. The Yankees didn't get one out today, but still a great record, but mostly my Knicks. You know how satisfying it is to hear Joel Embiid tell me that my fans went down the highway and took over his little Wells Fargo Center, and to come back here tonight, I guess, and to get a chance to take it away from him. I mean, listen, you couldn't be more excited if you're a New York sports fan for everything. Mets fans, I know we had it rough tonight. I'm a Yankee fan, and I know I called a few times here in my Yankee fandom. But I just want to say I'm 21. I'm so excited for the future of New York sports. And listening to the fan now, there's been no more exciting time than right now, hearing all the debates, who's better than who, listening to you go on, listening to my Yankees. You know, I'm just so grateful to be a New York sports fan right now. And a lot of debates can go on, but I just think a lot of people can just step back and take a breath of fresh air for the success of New York. It wasn't that long ago that I remember you coming on here and just saying, like, we're New York. Where's the pride? Where's the fans? Like, it's
where's
all
the
this,
team
so.
To represent how hard we work, how hard we go? This is supposed to be the greatest city in the world. Can we get a team to represent us on the floor, on the field, on the court, on the ice?
Yeah, it's so nice to watch. And, like, it's just a refreshing because now I'm like, I have legitimate hopes of going to see a parade. You know, back when I was 15, 16 years old, like, I mean, I don't want to say I was struggling like most of these fans were for however old they are, but, like, it wasn't necessarily fun to watch my teams go out and struggle. But now, like, I could reap the benefits, and it's so much fun, man. And just, like I said, like, listening to all this and the hype, I want the Knicks to win the finals, and I really do hope they do. But even if they don't, man, you can't say we get to the semifinals or we get to the finals and we get to play Boston. My best friend from college, he's from Massachusetts. I can't wait to rub it in his face when we go to Boston and we win these. This is the stuff that I live for, and I hope that a lot of people can realize this.
Yeah.
Hearing it from me as a young fan that, like, this is the time. I'm so proud to be a New York fan, and I just want to hear what you have to say about that, Keith. I'll keep calling. I'll keep listening, and huge fan of yours. I can't say it again. I can't wait. Maybe I'll see you in the stadium one day, but, you know, huge fan, Keith. Love listening to you. I'll speak to you soon.
Thanks for the call. Thanks for the compliments. You will see me. I'm not hard to find. I'll be at Yankee Stadium. I'll be there this weekend. I got to work Friday, so I got to get one of the homies to get me the Garrett Cole Jedi bobblehead. There's just no way you do the show till 2 in the morning. I fight traffic, get home, whatever. There's no way you can drive back to the state. Like, I just will be cooked. But I'll be there for Cinco de Mayo. I'll be there for the Cinco de Mayo festivities. But, yeah, I hope you do get there so you can rub it in the face of your Celtics friend who sees the Celtics go to the Eastern Conference Finals every other year, sees them in the playoffs every year. They think it's a foregone conclusion that this is their year. It's not. A lot to happen. And, yeah, for a while, you know, 2021, 2022, I'm just like, can we get a team that represents this city, represents this radio station, represents the passion, the pride, the care that the fans have? And I think we're starting to see that. I think the Rangers, who have obviously been my pick for years, they're carrying the torch, and the Knicks and the Yankees, and, you know, we'll see. Last call goes to Jay in Hawthorne, New Jersey. You got about a minute, Jay. Go for it.
What's good, my boy? You know, big fan of yours. I'm up late. Just wanted to chime in. I wanted to talk about the Giants a little bit. I feel like we got a polarizing fan base. A lot of people are upset that we didn't get a quarterback, but I didn't believe in any of the quarterbacks that were there. And we got my boy DJ under contract, and I think he's going to bounce back strong. We filled a lot of holes, and I know the rest of the division had decent drafts as well, but I think we're legitimately a good team now with no scrubs forced in the starting roles. And I don't see why we can't win 10 games and make a run at the wild card. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so much of it is going to rely on the coaching and the game plans and putting guys in position to succeed. But I think you'll be fine at quarterback. And I like what you said about, like, you don't just take J.J. McCarthy or even Michael Penix Jr., who is there to be had, if you believe that they can help you right now. That's what I just looked at the Giants and I'm like, if you don't think that the quarterback can help you win this year, then you don't make that pick. You get somebody that can help you win this year. Malik Nabers absolutely can. He could be the leading wide receiver on the team.
And Jones has the ability. Like, he's one of the best runners in the league, which no one gives him credit for.
Yeah, we hope that he can run. We hope that he can get back to that for sure.
It is a little question mark, but I think he's got the determination to get back. And also, he's incredible with the RPO game. And, you know, he routinely fakes out the cameramen, the announcers. He's so good with it.
That offensive line is going to be better. I think the defense stands to be better. You don't have Wink Martindale anymore, and obviously him and the head coach didn't get along. Thanks for the call, Jay. I don't know. I'll say this. I hate the Eagles. I tip my cap to them. They are arguably got the two best corners in the draft, of course. The Cowboys are going to be trash. I think they're a 9-win team at best. Maybe, I don't know, wild card. But, yeah, what do we know? Nobody knows anything. It's the draft, and I mean, these are kids that we're going to expect to be pros and contribute, and so much is to be seen. But that's all I've got, man. Thanks for calling. Thanks for being nice and respectful and complimenting and saying that you like my show. Chris's show is coming up next. KM to 2 a.m. ends. Bye. Sports Radio 101.9 FM.